Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Business Monitor version 6.2, troubleshooting queue bypass and event processing related issues. Today's presenters are Sridhar Idam and Faisal Bajwa. Sridhar has been working with monitor support since 2004. He has gained great expertise with the tooling and has helped resolve many critical situations with high-profile customers. Sridhar's experience brings in-depth technical knowledge and troubleshooting skills of WebSphere Business Monitor. FISA has 4 years of experience with WebSphere Business Monitor, modeler, and publishing server support. She has detailed knowledge in all three areas with a focus on WebSphere Business Monitor troubleshooting. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sridhar and FISA.
Thanks, Joseph. So starting over with slide number 2, today I am going to give a brief overview on end-to-end event flow in Monitor 6.2 and talk about how to go about troubleshooting event processing related issues in general. And then I'll hand it over to Sridhar to talk about the main part of this presentation, which is queue bypass. And he'll talk about the advantages of queue bypass, how to configure it, how to troubleshoot it, and show us an exciting live demo. So to begin on slide number 3, here we have an end-to-end event flow in a very simplified version. With 6.2, we have an alternate path for our events to flow, which start off at the event producer and then bypass the monitor queues and end up directly in the monitor database tables. Here, monitor will process the events, and then they end up in the dashboard. The traditional route, as I'm going to call it, will be the event producer, and then events travel over an SIV, if you have it configured, end up in the monitor queues, and events sit there to be processed by the monitor engine, and they are moved to the database table, and then end up in the dashboard. Now, in this long chain of events, events can get stuck at any part in this journey. If one of the links is broken, events will eventually not end up on the dashboard. And that invariably is the ultimate symptom of any event processing related issue, that events do not end up in the dashboard. So today I'm going to talk about what sort of strategy you should use to troubleshoot these issues. Now, moving on to slide number 4, it helps to use a strategy that sort of follows the logical flow of the events as they're flowing through the entire picture here. And the first place to look would be the event producer itself. You want to determine if the event producer is in fact sending these events that you cannot see in the dashboard. And to do that, a good way is to launch the CBE browser from the admin console, set an appropriate event filter, and then click the Get Events button after you've sent events from your event producer. And here you should be able to determine very clearly if your events are being produced. If they're being produced, that's great. If they're not, then you want to go back to your monitor model, perhaps in WID, and a common thing that's often overlooked is the CEI setting and the event monitoring setting. Check if these are correct. If they're not correct, you want to correct them and redeploy. If they are correct, then you want to dig a little deeper to figure out why. Now, say that your CBE browser tells you that, yes, events were emitted very successfully by the event producer. That's great. Then you can move on to the next step. Moving on to slide number 5. The next step would be to determine if the events are, in fact, reaching the monitor queues. So to do this, the first thing you want to do is to log on to your admin console and note what the current message depth is in the queue points for your particular model. Usually at 0, if it's not 0, just note the number, and at that point, then you want to stop the monitor model. In general, when trying to troubleshoot event processing-related issues, you want to stop your monitor model just so that you can isolate where the issue is exactly. Once the monitor model is stopped, then you want to send events from your event producer. So for example, if you're using BPC Explorer, this would entail starting a new instance. So moving on to slide number 6. So after you have stopped the monitor model and send events, you want to determine if the events did make it to the monitor queue. But to do this, again, you want to log into your admin console, check the queue points, and note the queue depth. Now, if the queue depth did not increase, that means your events are stuck somewhere in SIB line if you have that configured. And you want to check the logs at this point for SIB exceptions, and I'll talk about some common failures of the SIB in a few slides here. And you want to check if you have any authentication exceptions to the SIB. Check if the messaging engine is running. That's a common issue that we see with event processing-related issues. Another commonly overlooked setting is the CEI logging setting in the Business Process Choreographer container settings. If this isn't set, then you will not see events in your monitor dashboard. Moving on to slide number 7. Say that you do see the monitor events in the monitor queues, but they're not being processed, then you want to determine if you have your event groups set. You want to log onto your admin console and navigate to the default common event infrastructure event server and event groups. Determine if your event group for your particular model has been created and its corresponding event selector string. This is what monitor uses to understand what to do with your monitor events. If it's not there, then monitor won't really know what to do with the events that are coming in, and as a result won't be processed, and therefore you won't see anything on the dashboard. Another common thing is the event enable event distribution checkbox. That's in the default common event infrastructure event server settings. If it's not set, then again, you won't see anything in the dashboard. Moving on to slide number 8. Now, if you've determined that your events have not made it to your monitor queue, what you want to do is understand what's going wrong, perhaps in SIB land. A very common issue here is the SIB authentication issue. If your J2C authentication aliases are not set correctly, then your events will not travel successfully from your event producer to the monitor queues. You want to make sure the authentication aliases are set correctly, are valid, have a valid password. And additionally, if you're sending events asynchronously, then there's some additional authentication aliases that need to be set that I've outlined in the slide here. In particular, the component management authentication alias needs to be set if events are being sent asynchronously. Now, say that you have sent the events and they've traveled across the SIB issue. You've come across all these authentication issues. You've fixed them, and events are finally in the monitor queues, and you hit start on your monitor model, and events seem to be consumed, but they're still not in your monitor dashboard, then perhaps they ended up as failed events. This brings us to slide number 9. And we get a lot of questions about failed events. So I've put together a couple of slides here with FAQs about failed events. Now, if, for example, you check your failed event sequence and you do see events there, what do you go about doing it? You have options of resume processing and resubmit. And resubmit is really for individual events. If you want to restart or reprocess, for example, an individual event, you would use the resubmit option. And once each and every individual event of the entire instance has been processed successfully by a monitor, then you can use the resume processing option. So resume processing is really for the instance level, and resubmit is for each individual event in that instance. Sometimes customers have come across issues where they have failed sequences in monitor, however, the model is no longer deployed and the failed sequences are still there. And to do this, to deal with this, then you basically have to manually delete the relevant entries in the monitor tables, the underscore T tables. There are 3 of them that I've outlined in the slide here. You have to manually go in and delete the corresponding entries. Moving forward, we do have an APAR for this, which will enable event handling support in the console, and you wouldn't have to go into the database table and manually start deleting things. So moving on to slide number 10. Again, here I've included a link that goes to the Info Center that talks in more detail about failed events and why they happen and what to do. So the key takeaway here is that resubmit is for individual events, and unless all of your events have been successfully processed by a monitor, you will not be able to resume processing. So if you've started processing some events and you still see the process instance in the failed event sequence, there are probably still some events that need to be processed by monitor, which is why it's still in the failed event sequence. So moving on to slide number 11. In summary, today we've talked about the path, the traditional path of events, and how to troubleshoot where your events are stuck. Some common settings that you want to check is the CEI logging setting and the event service distribution setting. Now, if you still don't see your events in the dashboard, then at this point you want to stop the monitor model and sort of trace the path of the events. You want to first check the event consumer, event producer, check the CVE browser, and determine if it's emitting events. If it is emitting events, then you want to check your monitor queues. Make sure the events are, in fact, reaching the monitor queues. If they're not reaching the monitor queues, then you want to check your SIB. Check that the messaging engine is running. Check that your authentication aliases are correct, and test the log for various SIB errors. If the events are reaching your monitor queues, then you want to check if your event group is created successfully, if your event selector string is correct. And then finally, you want to start the monitor model and see if the monitor is consuming those events. If not, then you want to check the failed event sequences. And in all this, you want to basically check the logs. The logs is basically going to tell you all your errors and give you a really good clue. However, if you go through these steps in this logical way, it will be easier to determine and understand what the logs are trying to tell you and therefore determine where your events are being stuck. So then moving on to slide number 12, this concludes our intro and general guidelines to event processing troubleshooting. And now I'm going to hand it over to Sridhar Edam. He's our subject matter expert on monitor and has a lot more experience with monitor than myself. We're glad he's able to share some of that knowledge with us today. And he's going to take us into the real focus of this presentation, which is queue bypass. So Sridhar?
Thanks, Lisa. This is Sridhar. I'm a level 2 support staff support engineer. I'm a colleague of FISA. So my part of the presentation, what I'm going to present is a queue bypass demo. In this part, what I present will be the advantages of queue bypass compared to the traditional queue-based transport, and also I'll present a little bit on the configuration setup that's required to do a queue bypass, followed by an end-to-end flow. And also, in this end-to-end flow, what I want to do is also go through a checkpoint at different points of the event flow itself to make sure the end-to-end flow is complete and it's what is being done as expected. And at last, I'll go through the troubleshooting and checkpoints. Moving on to slide 13. Here is a basic event queue bypass flow. As Fiza has mentioned, the traditional one is with the queue base. With the queue bypass, it's only the database that comes into the picture when there is a queue bypass scenario. So the event emitter sends the event and CI detects it, and it routes based on the detecting that there's a queue bypass plugin and will route it. Now, where it will route to a database, and the table that it's going to route is called the incoming tables, and this table is per monitor model schema. So this table gets created only during the monitor model deploy. So it's per monitor model, you'll get an incoming table. Once the event reaches the incoming tables, the moderator picks up the event and marks it as observed in the observed column. And then it deletes it from the incoming events table, and then puts it into what's called the MCT tables, the KPI tables, and all other the version specific tables for this monitor model. Moving on to slide 14, I have a topology diagram here that I'm going to use for this two bypass setup demo. What I have is two boxes, one a Windows 2003 server box, which hosts the WPS environment, and a Linux Red Hat Enterprise Linux version 4 box, which is hosting the monitor server environment. The WPS environment consists of three clusters managed by a deployment environment, the app target, the messaging, and the support cluster. And there are two nodes after the demanager, and these two nodes participate in all the three clusters here. So that's the basic WPS setup on the Windows 2003 box. On the Red Hat Enterprise Linux box, the monitor server is consisting of only one cluster, which is the app target. So as you see, there's no connection, there's no WebSphere connection between both of these boxes. The only connection that we see is a database server with all those databases. The reason that's there, that's the only connection, because the events are sent directly to database as part of the queue bypass setup. At this point, I would like to show a few of my screens. So this is my WPS server, and this is my monitor server. The first step as part of the queue bypass is to, when security is enabled on both the process server side and the monitor side, is to make sure security, both cells trust each other. So the way to do that is first to exchange the LTPA keys. I have already done that, but I definitely want to show how, on what screen it's done and things like that. So if you go into security, secure administration applications and infrastructure, under authentication and authentication mechanism and expiration, we see the screen where we specify the password and also a fully qualified key name. Once we do this, this will be on the process server side. On the process server box, it will be exported to a particular location. For example, c162.key.pk. So once I do that, I can say export keys and the password. I have to remember the password. The reason why I say that, once I export this one, the next step would be is to go on the monitor side under security and click on authentication mechanisms, specify the same password, and import that particular key. So this concludes the LTPA key exchange. So the second step for both cells to trust each other is to get the SSL certificates itself. So to do that, what you can do is, if you click on under security, SSL certificate and key management, key stores and certificates, cell default trust store, signer certificates. Here, what you want to do is we can do a retrieve from port. Now, this screen specifies three mandatory fields. The host name. Since we are doing it from the monitor side, we want to specify the host name of the WPS server. And the port number would be the D-manager's bootstrap SOAP port. SOAP connection port. Let's see what that port looks like. So if you want to go back to the WPS side, under system administration, deployment manager, and ports, and the SOAP connector address, that is the port that we would specify. Once we do that, let's specify the host name and the port number, and specify an alias. Alias could be anything. Anything that you want to name your WPS server as. And you can do the retrieve signer information. Once that is done, you have the SSL also configured between these two servers. So you would have to do the same on the WPS side. So having done that, we are set up with security. So let me show you actually how it looks like once it's done. As you see here, I have named it as Omni, which is my WPS server, and have secured the signer information over here. So moving on to the next step that's involved in the queue bypass setup is to copy the plugins. This setup is a cross-cell setup. So for the first step is to, there are set of zip files. There are set of plugins that need to be copied over to the process server. The mon6161.zip mont6161 crosssell.zip, that's the name of the file that's going to be copied over to the process server installation and plugins directory. It's the base process server base installation directory and plugins directory. You copy the mont6161 crosssell.zip file and extract the plugins over there. So the second plugins that need to be copied over are the qroutingplugins.zip file. And the same needs to be done. Yeah, it needs to be copied over to the plugins directory of the process server side and need to be extracted there. And one of the very important steps most people, it's important to do when we do copy the plugins over is to run in an NDI environment, most probably, is to do an OSGI config init. That could be run from the bin directory of the process server and the monitor as well. So we have exchanged the security certificates. We have copied over the plugins. Now we are ready to run the scripts to set up the queue bypass itself. Now to do this, there are two set of scripts. So the scripts dot in the monitor installation, there's a folder called the scripts.wbm and queue bypass folder. It has all the scripts that I'm talking about. So for example, as you can see on my screen, there are the config-qbypass.sh and the setup-qbypass.sh. These are the scripts that need to be run for the qbypass to be set up completely. The first script that needs to be run is the config-qbypass.bat, and that requires and that needs to be run on the WPS demanager side and from the bin directory. That requires the parameters that are required are the monitor server database name and the username and the password for that particular monitor database and also the remote cell name. The info center has detailed parameter information there with particular examples on how to do that. It's pretty straightforward there, and the info center has pretty good detail on that. And we do have a link at the end of this presentation which gives the detail over there. So the config, that's the config queue bypass. Now setup queue bypass is a different step. So this needs to be done on both the process server side as well as the monitor side. So once the setup queue bypass is run, these parameters are also, I have a couple of screenshots in the presentation itself on what the parameters are and things like that. Slide 15 and slide 16 have the parameters that are required for, that show the parameters that are required to run the setup queue bypass. And one more important note in a NDI environment about the setup queue bypass itself is it needs to be run all the CI nodes. So let's say your support cluster or your CI cluster has like three nodes in your setup maybe. So in that case, the setup queue bypass needs to be run on all the three nodes apart from the demanager. So that's the requirement over there. So once this is all done and we think it's all done, we need to restart both the environments, the WPS server side and also the monitor side. Usually WPS side, CI server and demanager needs to be restarted and the monitor is always a restart of all the clusters there. So one of the checkpoint at that point is to make sure there's a data source that is created on both the monitor side and also on the process server side after these scripts are run. We want to make sure those data sources are created. I do want to show them on the admin console here. Click under Resources, JDBC, and Data Sources. There is a monitor demanager cell routing database data source that is created. We go into that data source. It specifies the server name and the database name, the database server name and the database name and the port number and also the authentication alias. The authentication alias is important in the sense it needs to have at least the connect privileges there. We can check the authentication alias. The way to do that it would be under J2C authentication data. Click on the monitor JDBC alias right here. It provides the username and the password that's required to connect to the database. In any case, there are changes to the username or password or authentication. You can definitely change it out here. We do want to make sure that the test connection works so that the process server doesn't have any kind of problem moving the events over to the monitor database. And the same kind of same data source is also created, as I said, it's created on both the sides, the monitor dimensional routing database. And it should have the same parameters as the other side. So moving on, what we do want to know is at this point is, yes, we do have a queue bypass setup, and we think it is all ready, but we do not know that it's completely ready yet. What we want to do is, first, we want to deploy an enterprise application. I already have a simple people process project application. This is a very simple people process, as it's named. On the process server side, on the monitor side, I have a corresponding monitor model installed, simple people process project process. And at this, we do want, during the installation, one of the steps is to specify, during the monitor model installation, one of the steps is to specify what CI this monitor model is going to listen to. That's where we specify, also we specify the CI distribution mode. The CI distribution mode, so the CI distribution mode, as you can see it here, it is monitor model queue bypass. That's saying, okay, we are using the queue bypass mode, and we will be specifying during the monitor model installation, we can specify the remote host name and the bootstrap port address of the DMANAGER. One of the problems that usually happens during that, let me bring up that screen. Let me say if I want to install a monitor model. So what I'm doing right now is installing a monitor model, and one of the steps as part of the monitor model installation is actually, unfortunately, that it's already installed. It's to specify the CI remote server and the port number there to get and do a refresh list, which will get the event groups on the CI side. One checkpoint at that stage is to make sure that on the process server side there is no firewall that's obstructing the port that we are trying to access through an EJP call at that step. If that fails, the model deployment itself fails, so we won't have any queue bypass at all. So that's one more checkpoint that we need to be aware of. Let's see if we can go through an end-to-end event flow. What I want to first check is show you how many events are there in my CBE browser. As Fiza has talked in her presentation, she had a list of checkpoints. We would like, at this demo, I'd also try to go through the checklist on the admin console itself. So, I'll go ahead and start the simple people process. But before that, what I want to do, follow a procedural event process debugging, is to make sure that my monitor model is stopped. So, the reason I'm doing that, because what I want to see is, one, whether the events are coming in into the incoming event table. If not, I would have to trace it back to, is there any issue on the event emitter side and things like that. So first, let me stop the monitor model, and we'll go through a sequence of steps that will show us what I'm talking about of how we can do an event process debugging. So my monitor model is stopped. I'm checking my CVE browser. I say there are 170 events here. Let me start a process. So I go ahead and submit the process. I should have seen events in the incoming events table. But before going there, we do want to go through a checklist as part of this presentation. So the checklist includes, one, whether this is this simple process, a simple people process, whether it's modeled to emit events. So the way to check that would be in the WID itself. So the second step is to see whether the runtime, the people containers are enabled to do SCI logging. to do that, what we can do is check under clusters, the app target cluster, or whichever cluster it is, under business process choreographer containers. So under business process choreographer containers, there is a state observers section, and under that, there is a common, there is audit logging and common infrastructure logging, and both needs to be checked, or at least a business flow manager needs to be checked. The reason I say that, if that is not checked, there will be no events at all that will be that the people process is going to send to CEI. So we have checked the people process itself for now. Now the second step is to see whether our CEI is installed correctly. So if we go under service integration and common event infrastructure and event service, we see that there is a CEI installed and it's installed under the support cluster over here as it specifies. And it's also one of the things as part of this is also to see whether the CEI would be able to send events to its destination. And the check mark that's important to check here is the enable event distribution. So what we checked is to see that whether the CEI is installed correctly. Now what we want to check is whether it's enabled at the cluster level. So if we go on the clusters and support, we know that it's installed under support, so we do want to see whether it's enabled. Under support, yes. And it says enable the event infrastructure server. So it seems that under support cluster, the CI is enabled. So we check the people engine, but now we check the event infrastructure, the CI infrastructure engine. Both look okay. Now let's see whether, if that's the case, we should see an increase of events over here. So if I say go ahead and press events, see there's from 170, it went up to 172. Right now it looks like this point, all the event emitting side looks okay. Now it comes down to queue bypass. Queue bypass, now what we expect is to see that the CI is based on the queue routing plugins. It should send it over to the incoming events table of the particular MANT model. So let's check that. To do that, I'm going to open up my database server. Underneath that, tables. Let me refresh the tables. So I have a simple people process schema over here that's created. As you see, this is the same schema that's the name of the MANT model. So underneath that, if I check under incoming events table, I see there are two events. So what we expect to see is right here. What we wanted to see was there is an increase of two events in the CPE browser, and we also see two events being specified over here, being populated in the incoming events table. Now, this is observed as zero right now. The reason being, we don't have the MANT model running. The moderator is not listening yet. So let's see what happens when we start our MANT engine. Going back to our MANT model, and let me start the MANT model. We'll wait for a minute or so before it starts. And in the meantime, you can always refresh the content here, check the incoming tables. See, I haven't gotten the confirmation on the admin console, but as you see, there were two events in the incoming events table, and those are being consumed. So the moderator, the moment it started, it picked up the events from the incoming events table, and it deleted, as we talked about in one of our slides. So we should see at least some events in the MCVT tables, and there they are. So creation time of October 1st, 12:27 p.m. and 2:08 p.m. So those are the two events that we were expecting to see from those were picked up from the incoming table, events table. That concludes my demo. I'm on slide 17. There are a few troubleshooting steps that I've specified in slide number 17. One of the common problems is whether if you have specified the incorrect parameters, if you have specified incoming parameters in either the config queue bypass script or the setup queue bypass script. The second one is whether the plugins are copied over correctly or not. So the second step is to make sure the plugins are copied over correctly, and if not, we have to do the OSGI config init steps correctly. Moving on to slide 18. The usual debugging options are the must gather in terms of queue bypass problems is to set up a com IBM WPA monitor dot router dot star on either side, and we should be able to get the tracing enabled on both sides, and we should be able to get all the details in there to do any kind of troubleshooting in any case. Moving on to slide 19. These are all the queue bypass checkpoints. I think as part of my own presentation, I did go through a lot of these. Slide 20, these are some useful resources, like the failed events. That there's a good section there in the Info Center, the Monitor 62 Info Center. There's a good IBM Education Assistant step-by-step PDF file that's on the IBM Education Assistant, and that's the link there, and you can stay updated with Twitter in this section. And slide 21 has some additional resources, and I think that concludes my presentation. Joseph, you can take over.
At this point, Lee, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I'm not showing any questions.
Thank you, Lee. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.